The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Our tech team ensure your broadband runs at its optimum speed. It's all part of the service.
Let's say good morning to Niamh. How are you, Niamh?
Morning, Ryan. How
nice,
are you?
Nice to talk to you today.
You too.
I was talking last week and we were talking about, you know, how's everyone doing? And you wrote this email into us and we thought, I don't want to read it. I want to talk to you if that's okay. Why did you write to us?
Well, I had heard that mum who had emailed you on Friday morning at 4 a.m. from her kitchen table about, I think she had two children with autism. Mm-hmm. And it just resonated and I just said, well, sure, look, you're saying all week, write in. So I did.
Good on you.
And I didn't even sign it. I actually just sent it. I don't even know what I was thinking. I kind of rambled a bit in it. Mm. But I was talking about, I have three boys. I have Daniel, who was 11 just before Christmas. Paul is 7 or 9. He was 9 in December. And then I have Luke, who's 5.5.
Okay.
So we're back to homeschooling.
To know what time we are now, we were at 9:37. What time does homeschooling begin? Because I don't have necessarily homeschooling as such, and that I don't have to do it because the kids are of a certain age.
Yeah.
Tell me about what happens this morning, for example.
So, well, the emails were coming kind of from Friday, preparing us for today. We got the breakdown of their week's plans yesterday, and Paul was, my 9-year-old had a class meeting there at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
So he had to be up and ready for 9 o'clock. So they're having small class meetings twice a week this week. My bigger two boys, just 10 minutes for the teacher to kind of tell them about the week ahead.
Okay.
And then we'll plough on at the kitchen table.
So who sits around? Here's what I wanted to do for me, Niamh. Would you mind?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people listening this morning who don't have homeschooling in their lives at all.
Yeah.
And a lot of people listening this morning who are hearing a lot about, oh, homeschooling. But it makes no sense until we understand what it means for somebody like you, for example. So give us the morning, which typically which you see coming down the tracks every morning for in your life, starting at what time?
So well, we're up, Luke is generally up around 7, the youngest. So we're up and breakfast and getting everybody ready. And then my husband working from home. So he's in Daniel's bedroom, which kind of excludes that for Daniel to do his homework. So that brings everybody downstairs. So I've decided this time with Daniel and Paul, the two bigger boys, I'm going to do their work in the morning. So now Daniel's pretty independent. He's in fifth class, so he doesn't need much input. But Paul needs that extra little bit of support, my 9-year-old. So I'm going to have the two of them do their homework at the kitchen table. I'll be there in the kitchen. I'll be there at the table if they need me. And then my youngest, Luke, is 5.5. He started junior infants this year. So we didn't have homeschooling for him in the last lockdown because he was still in play school. But he has extra needs. He's autism and he's extra bits going on. So there is my biggest challenge.
Okay, autism covers so much. And we hear the word spectrum, Niamh, as you know. Can you tell us, can you place, roughly speaking, and I say, ask that respectfully, tell me where Luke is at.
So Luke, kind of, I picked things up in him at around 2.5, 3. And it all kind of came to a head 2 years ago when he went to play school because his behaviours at home were very impulsive. They were quite aggressive. There would be meltdowns. There would be spontaneous hitting and biting of the older two boys, myself and my husband, for like the smallest of reasons. You could have cut his toes wrong. You know, silly little things like that. They're just unexplained. So his behaviour has been quite challenging. So during the last lockdown, it was very difficult. He was still quite challenging. All services stopped. Occupational therapy stopped. There was no speech therapy. Play school stopped. All those things that kind of gave a bit of respite, if I'm honest, for me to be able to cope with him as the day went on. Mm-hmm. So we were all then at home. So when you could see, so when they went back to school, I actually found the last lockdown much easier. I know a lot of people found it quite difficult. Because they were in school, it was definitely much easier. Occupational therapy had restarted for him, and that makes a huge difference for him. So his behaviour at the moment isn't quite as challenging as it was, but his concentration levels are deplorable. I'm dreading how I'm going to get to sit him to focus for a few minutes even today. But I'll try.
Oh, you will try because that's what you do. Exactly.
Yeah.
So you've got Paul and Daniel at the kitchen table.
Yes.
You've got your husband is in Paul's room trying to
Daniel's
hold
room upstairs,
Daniel's
yeah.
room trying to hold down a job. I'm trying to keep up here. It's like the Brady Bunch gone mad on COVID.
Little bit. Yeah.
Okay, and then we've got Luke. Where does Luke go when the other boys are in the kitchen with you?
So I have to be honest. Luke will be either watching TV or a tablet.
Tell me about the tablet.
So he might watch, a bit of Paw Patrol. It just keeps him away from the boys and gives the boys some peace to do their work.
Okay, so you need to throw him a bone as such just to say, just please
just
don't
us,
be at it. Okay, next question, because I'm trying to get a day in the life of a homeschooler in January 2021.
Yeah.
The way you're talking, it strikes me like you're a stay-at-home mum.
No.
That couldn't be further from the truth.
I'm not. I'm a nurse. I'm a frontliner. I work on a transplant unit, bone marrow transplant unit in James's. I was working all weekend. I'm working tonight.
What's your shift?
They're 12 and a half hour shifts. So a day shift is 7:30 in the morning till 8 p.m. and a night shift is 7:30 p.m. to 8 a.m.
What time do you start work tonight?
I'm working tonight, yeah.
At what time?
I'll be in for 7:30 tonight.
At what time does school finish at?
Well, I'm hoping school will be finished by lunchtime, is my plan.
And what do you do at lunchtime?
So myself and Paddy were just talking about this morning. I'm going to try and lie down at lunchtime, is my plan. Because when they're in school and I'm working a night shift, I come back after I bring them to school and I go back to bed until I have to pick Luke up at 1:30. So I get those few hours, which is why the last lockdown there, kind of after they went back to school, was so much easier because I could get some rest before I go into work. So I'm going to try and lie down at lunchtime for an hour or so, and then it'll be into work tonight.
You were working last... I'm trying to keep up. Forgive
no,
me.
No, no, no. I worked days over the weekend.
Over the weekend?
Yeah, I worked days this weekend.
7:30 to 8 p.m.?
Yeah, both days. Yeah.
And what... Does Paddy mind the kids then for that?
Yeah.
When you're doing that shift for the...
Yeah.
You come home at 8 p.m. How tired are you? Not alone are you tired. How tired are you?
Oh, you're exhausted.
It must be a different level, is it?
It is a different level. And it's terrible to say, but you kind of get used to it. You know, I've been doing them for, 20-odd years now at this stage, and I've always done the long shifts. So I'm used to it. But, you know, gone are the days when you had no children. You could just come home and flake out and then sleep half the day the next day. Those days are so long gone.
Bring me to 9:45 now. Bring me to lunchtime today when the school as such ends.
Yeah.
And you're kind of gearing up for your shift at 7:30. There's dinner on the way at some stage.
Yeah.
Not to mention lunch. Where do you go for your lunch?
We just have lunch here at the kitchen table.
Where do you go for your lunch? Where do you go for your sleep? I meant to ask. Do you go to your own
upstairs.
Bed?
I'll come upstairs. Okay. My own bed. Yeah.
Right. Kids smell weakness.
Oh, totally.
And if you're tired and you want to go to bed, that's when they want to come and talk to you. Or bounce on the bed, or act the maggot.
Particularly a 5.5-year-old.
Now, how realistic is your prospect of getting a sleep at lunchtime?
It's very minimal, very minimal. But if I can even just chill out and, you know, just even lie down for an hour, that can help, you know. And then in the last lockdown, the original one last March in April, everybody was so nervous and. Mm. I was nervous going into the hospital. I was nervous of bringing something in there because our patients are so vulnerable. I was nervous of bringing something home to the house. We didn't see my mum, who lived on her own. So then those kind of the support bubbles came about. So we have mum in our support bubble now. So for this lockdown, I am sleeping in mum's house tomorrow after my night shift because I just got no sleep after night shift the last time because like that Luke could smell you nearly and he'd be in on top of you. And it could be 11 o'clock, you could be in a deep sleep. You know, you go to bed at around 8:30, 9:00.
Yeah.
He could be in at 11 o'clock jumping on you. So I'm going to sleep in my mum's now this time around. After the night shift.
I understand.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I almost feel slightly relieved that you're going to your mother's house because I'm exhausted talking to you. I can feel the tiredness. You have the most relentless routine. I've heard it's full on.
Yeah, it is full on. But I'm not the only one. We're all at it. Like all the girls I work with, we're all at it.
That's why I'm so happy to talk to you today because, as I was asking last week, how are you all doing? This is so important to get for us as fellow citizens of yours
Yeah.
You know, we talk about the front line and then we all go off to the shops to buy the papers. And by that I mean me. When we're told to stay at home, you know, I feel a little bit guilty talking to you, actually.
I don't feel guilty.
But you know what I mean? People are kind of going, oh, but we need to get out and we need to do stuff and we need to, you know, get in the cars and do everything like that. And yet I'm talking to you and I'm thinking, like, when you're in the hospital that you describe yourself in, are you in that PPE sort of armour that we hear about?
We're not in the full yellow gowns unless somebody is query COVID. So our ward is quite protected, and we're the bone marrow transplant unit, so our patients are extremely vulnerable. They have, like, no immune system. So kind of infection control is our bread and butter. We do it every day, all year, every year. So we've had to step it up a gear. The last few winters, like during the flu seasons, we've kind of put on masks going into patients anyway. So we were just about to get rid of the masks last February, and then COVID was on the way. So we've been wearing masks in work for a year and a half solid now. But on top of that, we wear visors going into all our patients now. So we've the mask, the visors, we put on gowns, we wash our hands going in, wash hands coming out, gloves doing everything. It's, it's a busy unit.
So you'd wear masks for how many hours?
Everything, 12 and a half hours. We wear them all day. We only take them off to literally eat our food and we put them back on us for the rest of our break.
So when you get home then, do you have to do all that kind of decontamination with your clothes?
Yeah, well, I just go straight to the shower. I nearly have a uniform that I wear into work. Do you know, I wear the same clothes into work every shift and you just throw them in the machine when you come home. We don't wear our uniforms into work. We change in work, obviously. And then I just jump straight in the shower. Even the Daniel and Paul now, they don't come near me. And they go and have your shower, Mom. I'm like, I'm going.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay. I had a bit of a wobble last week, I have to admit.
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of knew this was going to come. We could see the numbers rising. We knew with the movement there before Christmas and over Christmas that I kind of thought there'd be a lockdown. I didn't initially think the schools would close. And then obviously the numbers just went astronomical. So it was kind of inevitable. But then last Monday, I did have a wobble. I was like, I can't do this again. I can't.
What does a wobble look like?
Oh, lots of tears, generally. Now, I'm a crier anyway. People who know me will laugh because I am a crier. But, yeah, and I, you know, during the first lockdown, it was very difficult, very stressful. I don't feel as stressed now. I've kind of got my head back in the game now. But I did have a wobble last month. I was like, I can't go back to this again.
And can I ask you, how do you de-wobble?
I do lots of walking.
Yeah.
And I have the crack with the girls in work because they're all mental. We've a great bunch. We've a great bunch in work. I have great friends and great family. My mom is brilliant. My brother lives close by. He has three little girls who are close in age to my three boys, but we haven't seen a whole lot of them, unfortunately.
You know, so, Luke, I'd say, takes up a lot of your time.
He does, yes.
And a lot of your heart and a lot of your attention.
Yeah.
What about the other boys? I mean, you know, a lot of attention can often go to the child who has the needs, but everyone has needs.
Everybody has needs. So I was just thinking about this actually the other day. Like, we did a lot before lockdown. There was a lot of kind of splitting up and dividing. So either I would do something with the two big boys and Paddy would take Luke or vice versa, just to give everybody a breather. But actually lockdown has kind of forced us all to be together again. And you couldn't bring Luke to the cinema, so Paddy might have brought the boys to the cinema, or I would have, or we even tried to go to the fish place in Bray, the aquarium in Bray, and Luke wouldn't. He freaked out going in there, so Paddy had to bring the boys in there on his own. So because of lockdown now, not very much is open, we're all together, and Luke loves, we've Marley Park here on our doorstep in St. Andrew's Park, he loves both those parks, and he loves the mountains, and he loves forests, so we do all that, and actually the bigger two love jumping on rocks, and you know, so we kind of do all that together. But I've on my walks in the evening times, Daniel has started coming with me on my walks now, and we have the chat, and it's actually lovely having that time. I was like, I can't believe you're big enough now to come out with me at night time on a walk. It's lovely.
So
kind of spending time with them separately, but doing more together. I feel we're doing more together than what we had been before lockdown, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. Great sense. Text says, I can totally feel what Niamh is going through at the moment. I'm about to start trying to homeschool three children. Also, one has additional needs. And I'm a nurse. And I need an IT degree to upload this and to seesaw that and the other platforms. Yeah. My life is a seesaw at the moment, up and down and up and down. And gosh, that sums it all up in some strange ways. Lots of people saying, if they need to watch the tablet, let them watch the bloody tablet. Yeah, don't be overthinking it. And don't, you know, it's a pandemic. The rules aren't the same.
They're not.
Okay, so don't be beating yourself up. How do you feel about level five as it stands?
Level five as it stands.
This level five.
Like, I really didn't think we'd be back here again, but here we are.
Do you think it's strong enough?
God, can we go much stronger? I don't know. Like, you know, we're kind of 2 weeks post Christmas now, 2.5 weeks post Christmas. So we were talking about this in work yesterday. We were like, maybe another 10 days it might plateau out, you know, and we might see beginnings of a turnaround. But the numbers are so high this time. You know, they've never been as high as this. But we've done it before. We can do it again. I'm an optimist. We can do it again. Yeah. We can turn it around. The vaccine is here. Myself and the girls in the ward, most of us have had the vaccine now because we work with the vulnerable
that's good news.
Patient group. So they started there on the 30th. I had mine on the 31st, so I get the booster on Thursday week. So yeah, a lot of us have had it. So there's definitely hope. I think if we just stick to the advice, to the public health advice, the guidelines, we can turn it around. We can get the schools open again. And maybe this will all be a distant memory in a while.
You know it will.
It has to be. It has to be.
And it will be. Yeah. But you are remarkable. And I'm sure you know. You don't need to hear it from me. But I'm just so taken aback. But no, honestly, Niamh, I mean it. You and your husband and the boys.
There's so many people.
That's it. I was going to say, you represent so many families around the country who are, as that person says, seesaw.
Absolutely.
I have this kind of strange a list that I haven't kind of formulated properly of people I'm dying to meet when this is over and to invite them into the Late Late Show audience as my special guests. And I hope you don't mind me putting you on that list because I'd love to meet you and you know, and say to you, come on, we got there and you got there. So look, will you keep the faith, as I say, and mind yourselves and tell the boys, I said to the toy man, said hello. And
well, they met you. Daniel has told me he met you. You were in his school this time last year, actually, in St. Tractus.
Ah, come on.
Saying goodbye to the principal who was retiring.
That's right,
So they were so delighted because it was, I think it was declared Ryan Tubridy Day and they were never going to get homework on that day from there on
That's
in.
Right. Yeah.
But they're off now, so that doesn't count.
Oh, Lord. Okay, well, tell him I said hello. Yeah, I remember that well.
I will.
It's been a real pleasure to talk to you.
And
I hope you get
Thank
your
you
snooze today and all the days. You deserve only the best things. And to you and all your colleagues in the hospital as well, please let them know that we appreciate everything you're doing, okay?
We will. Thanks a million, Ryan.
Okay, you're
Thanks
amazing. See you, Niamh.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.